Yvonne, if you can go ahead with roll call, please.
Yes, can everyone hear me? Sorry, I was having some troubles with my audio. Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much. If you hear your name being called, if you can just please acknowledge that you are present, I would greatly appreciate it. Mel Banta.
Present.
Thank you. Victoria Bell.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Benda.
Present.
Thank you. Jennifer Best.
Present.
Thank you. Adam Blakesley.
Present.
Thank you. Ricky is running late. Ricky Boche. I think he's running a little bit late. Michael Boggs.
Present.
You. Gladys Brangman. Carl Cornell.
Present.
Thank you. Erica Crawley. Bethany Dixon. Jamie Doss.
Present.
Thank you. Alicia Erickson.
Present.
Thank you. Kevin Fitch. Danielle Hill.
Present.
Thank you. Rose Howard.
Present.
Thanks. Ellie Crump Powers.
I'm here.
Thank you. Jeremy Cruiser.
Present.
Thank you. Sophie Lunches.
Present.
Thank you. Yelberton Lacane.
Iman, he's in the waiting room, so he'll be joining us.
Thank you. Tia Mingers.
Present.
Thank you. Stephanie Rasu.
Present.
Thank you. Matthew Schneider.
Present.
Thank you. Michelle Stefanisky Seymour.
Present.
Thank you. Kate Supran.
I'm present.
Thank you. Deb Serene.
Present.
Wendy Treat.
Present.
Danielle Wearson.
Danielle's here.
Danielle. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Awesome. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Everyone, back to you, Wendy.
All right. Thanks, Yvonne. I appreciate that. I'm going to read the land acknowledgement now. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayakono, the Cayuga Nation. The Gayakono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayakono disposition and honor the ongoing connection of Gayakono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. All right, our next agenda item is the approval of the September 17th, 2025 meeting minutes. There was a link in the agenda. They're also in the box folder. If you all could take a minute to review them, I'm open to any amendments. If there are no amendments or changes, I am open to a motion to approve by unanimous consent.
Motion to approve by unanimous consent.
Seconded.
Do we have any dissent? All right, seeing no dissent, our minutes from the September 17th meeting are approved. Next is a call for late additions to the agenda. Do we have anything that we would like to add? Okay, I'm not seeing any late additions, so we will move to our business of the day. We are very fortunate and grateful to have Katie King, who is the Associate Vice President with the Cornell Office of Civil Rights, joining us today. So Katie, I believe, let me just double check the permissions, that you have permission to share your screen. Yes.
Thank you.
Yep. So if you want to go ahead and share your screen and have at it.
Let me see. Hopefully, I'm going to share the full presentation. Is that what everybody sees? The full presentation? Okay, I see nods. Yes. Thank you so much. You'd think I would know by now. So thank you all for having me. I'm so happy to be here to meet with you today. I'm Katie King. As Wendy said, I'm the AVP for the Cornell Office of Civil Rights. I presented to the Employee Assembly last year when our office was named the Office of Institutional Equity and Title IX. And this is the reason that I'm coming to you all today, because I want to talk about the renaming of our office, kind of why that happened, and remind everyone what we do and why we're here on the Cornell campus. So as you may all have seen, in June this year, there was a message that went out to the campus community announcing that the name of our office would be changing to the Cornell Office of Civil Rights. There was a Cornell Chronicle article, and this was also reported on in the Cornell Sun. And I wanted to kind of meet with everyone today to tell you what changed, but more importantly, particularly for employees, what did not change. And so you can see here on the screen, these are like six major areas of things that we do in the Cornell Office of Civil Rights. So the top left box on your screen talks about sexual misconduct response. This is work that our office has done for many years. And our responsibility here is if there are allegations of any type of sexual misconduct that occur in Cornell's programs or activities, so these can be things like sexual harassment, sexual assault, stalking, dating or domestic violence, any sexual misconduct that would violate Cornell University Policy 6.4 that is reported officially to the university, those reports come to our office and we handle those reports. And it does not matter whether the parties, either the complainant or the respondent, is a student, staff member, faculty member, does not matter. We handle all of those complaints and concerns through that process, and we have done so for many years. So that has not changed. The next box, top row, middle line, discrimination, harassment, and bias response. And so if you read closely the announcement that came out in June of this year, this is an area where we are seeing a small change, and it really pertains to students. So for this group, for the employees of Cornell University, our office for many years has handled reports of bias, discrimination, and harassment involving employees. We did not handle complaints against students for non-sexual misconduct, bias, discrimination, and harassment. So for things like race-based harassment or national origin-based harassment or religious discrimination or disability discrimination of students by students, those complaints were routed to the Office of Student Conduct and Community Standards. However, we decided that in an effort to centralize all civil rights investigations, response, and protocols at the university, we would streamline that process and bring it all into our office. And so this actually does not impact employees. We handle employee matters the way we always have, but we now also are handling student matters. And so we were able to bring on an investigator into our office to handle those student matters. So we are appropriately staffed for taking on these cases, but for the employee population, the way that we respond to these matters hasn't changed. We also handle all employee accommodation requests. And so if any employees need to request an accommodation in their workplace because they have a disability or because they are pregnant or have a pregnancy-related condition, such as, for example, they've just given birth or they are breastfeeding, or perhaps they have endometriosis, which is considered a pregnancy-related condition under the Federal Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, and they need an accommodation for that. Our office handles those accommodation requests. We also handle religious accommodation requests for employees. For students, including graduate students, those folks continue to go to Student Disability Services, but we continue to handle all employee requests for accommodation and have done so since October 2023, which is just before I joined. I've been here at Cornell since November 1st, 2023. And to that point, I just want to say, I feel like there's an intersection between folks asking for accommodations and the reason why I really wanted to change the name of our office. Many, many times since I've been here, I've had folks say to me, oh, I need to refer my employee to the Title IX office because they needed an ADA accommodation. And our office has long been referred to as the Title IX office, but Title IX really focuses on sex discrimination in our programs and activities and has really nothing to do with employee disability accommodations or some of the other work that we do. And so when we learned that we were transitioning the work from the Office of Student Conduct and Community Standards as it pertained to student discrimination and harassment cases, I thought it was really the perfect opportunity to update the office name to reflect all of the work that we currently do, which is all civil rights work. And so that is why we really changed the name. I want people to know if they have a civil rights concern, whether it be because of sexual misconduct or because they're facing some type of protected status, discrimination or harassment, because they need an accommodation, they come to our office and we are the central office to handle civil rights concerns. Other work that we handle has to do with consensual relationships. So policy 6.3 is the university's consensual relationships policy. This policy specifically prohibits any romantic or consensual relationships between any employee, staff or faculty, and undergraduate students. So those are strictly prohibited. And then the policy outlines the types of relationships that need to be reported or documented if graduate students or postgraduate students are involved with a faculty member. We also do the equal employment opportunity work of the university. And so as you may all know, our office has done all of the affirmative action planning for Cornell University for many years. Each of the colleges and each of the units gets their own affirmative action plan each year. There was an executive order issued by the President of the United States in January of this year that eliminated our ability to engage in affirmative action planning for women and minorities. However, we still have the obligation under federal law to engage in affirmative action planning for individuals with disabilities and protected veterans. And so our office continues to do that work. We also do education and training work in this office, all different types of education and training. I am gonna give a shout out to HR 301, which was released today. I hope everyone received the email from Workday Learning today that has been assigned to you. You will notice, and I'm very proud to say that we've updated HR 301 for the first time in several years. So it's in a different format. It should be more interactive, hopefully more interesting to individuals that are taking the training and provide some helpful information for you all. You have 30 days to complete that. But we also do all other, many other different kinds of education and training. So we can come and give training to people leaders or everybody at the university about accommodations and what that process looks like to ask for a reasonable accommodation and go through the process. We meet with HR departments about their role in that. We are happy to come and give trainings on any of the topics that are covered under policy 6.4, bias, discrimination, or harassment related to protected statuses upon request. And so we have a trainer in our office who's happy to work with you to do that. So please just reach out to us. Our contact information is later in this deck, which I believe will be made available to everyone in the EA as a part of these meeting notes. So please feel free to reach out with any questions. If you've seen me give a training before, you will have seen this slide before. I like to share this slide every time I give a presentation, just to remind everyone what all of the protected statuses are under Policy 6.4, because we really are a global community here at Cornell. We have got students, staff, faculty coming to work in New York State and also working remotely, but working in New York State, which has protections for more people than do many other states and the federal government, right? So Policy 6.4 incorporates all of the federal, state, and local protections that are afforded to individuals in New York State as well as in New York City into Policy 6.4. And so all of the statuses that are listed here on the screen are protected statuses under Policy 6.4. And you cannot be discriminated against or harassed based on any of these protected statuses at Cornell. And if that happens, we really encourage you to reach out if this happens to you, or if you become aware of any problematic conduct based on protected status, please reach out to our office. There are several asterisks here, and you'll see that I have a note at the bottom that accommodations may be available for members of these protected statuses, which I've already talked about three of them. One protected status that I haven't yet talked about with respect to accommodations are for victims of domestic violence. In New York State, if you are a victim of domestic violence, you may be eligible for workplace accommodations. If, for example, you need to attend to court appearances, or perhaps you need to go to some type of mental health care for yourself because of what you've experienced. And Michelle Artiby is the person here at Cornell who can help you with those accommodations, but our office is very happy to put you in touch with Michelle if that would be of help to anybody. And let me see here. Okay, so moving on to the next slide. Talking with employees, I always just like to kind of think about questions that employees might have about the work that our office does. And one question that we often receive, or one topic that we receive questions about are, am I required to report if I learn of information? Am I a designated reporter? And what are my responsibilities? So I just want to give a quick reminder to everyone that we really have two groups of people that have to take certain actions at Cornell based on what your job title is. And so there are a group of people that are called designated reporters. These folks are on a list on our website, and they hold the titles of, for example, deans, vice presidents. Everyone that works in athletics is a designated reporter. Many people that work in housing and residence life are designated reporters. All of the people that work in my office are designated reporters. All of the people that work in Cornell University Police Department are designated reporters. But that said, the vast majority of Cornell employees are not designated reporters. Designated reporters have a limited obligation to report sexual misconduct involving students. And so if there is a case that does not involve students, a designated reporter does not need to report that to our office. So designated reporting is very specific. Sexual misconduct involving students must be reported to our office if you are a designated reporter. If you ever have a question about whether this applies to you, please reach out. We're happy to have a conversation with you and talk you through what that means. That is not to say we do not always encourage reporting. We are a relatively small office on a very large campus. And so for us to become aware of incidents that are happening, to provide support and resources, to let individuals know what their options are, we need to be made aware of what is going on. So we always encourage reporting, but it's not required if you're not a designated reporter or if you're not a people leader. And so people that hold the title of supervisor, manager, people leader have very specific responsibilities at Cornell as well. And so if you're a supervisor or manager and you learn that there may be discrimination or harassment taking place in your kind of work, in your workplace, impacting one of your employees, you do have a duty to act. You have a responsibility to stop any discrimination or harassment from occurring, remedy any effects from that discrimination or harassment, and prevent it from occurring again. And while that obligation falls on the supervisor and manager, please know that it is our job to handle this. We are trained to do this work, the folks in the Cornell Office of Civil Rights. So do not feel that as a supervisor manager, this is a burden that's falling on your shoulders. Please reach out to us and let us assist you in this. But also please know that you do have an obligation as a supervisor manager to report policy 6.4 violations to our office if they're happening in your workplace. So moving on, I think it's always helpful just to remind folks what happens when our office receives a report, and also what doesn't happen. So when our office receives a report, we will identify who is the impacted person. So sometimes the impacted person is the one who files the report with our office. Sometimes we receive a report, an anonymous report that tells us about a situation that occurred. Sometimes the supervisor or manager will send us a report. We read the report. We try to identify who was harmed here, who is the impacted party, and we'll do outreach to them. We send them a very detailed email that contains information on supportive measures or interim measures that we can help assist with other resources at Cornell University. We always share information about all of the confidential resources that are available. For employees specifically, confidential resources are the Ombuds Office, which is an excellent, excellent resource for employees. They're purely confidential, and they can help walk you through different options that you may have and maybe make recommendations to you, but they will not report to us unless you specifically give them permission to do so. The other confidential resource for employees is FSAP, which I hope everyone knows about, but it's the counseling service that's available to employees, and that is confidential as well. So we'll send that email out with all that information, and we'll offer the impacted party the opportunity to meet with us. We really want to let the person who's been impacted by the situation kind of determine and drive what happens next, with the understanding that when we're talking about the employment space, Cornell University has obligations to our employees to make sure that we are not allowing hostile environments to continue. So there may be that employees are aware of. Sorry,
you had cut off a second there.
Oh no, my connection is unstable. Day Hall. Okay, so in any event, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry if I'm cutting out, but let me just move right along. So here's the information about connecting with our office. And then also I want to share, and this deck is available to you all. These are some key resources that are available for folks on campus, and also some resources that are available in the community. And I want to give the opportunity for anyone to ask any questions, and I'll stop sharing now. And thank you so much. I'm sorry if my internet cuts out. I don't know why it does that sitting in Day Hall.
Great. Thank you for this, Katie. We definitely appreciate you coming and joining us and giving this presentation. For everyone that's here, just so you're aware, if you go to the Assembly's website to our meetings page, this presentation along with our meeting packet is up. So if anyone needs to look at the slides that Katie was presenting, it's available there. But yes, I'm going to open up the floor to any questions or comments or anything for Katie. Please just use the raise hand icon or emoji. Anything. There we go, Michael. Go ahead.
How do you handle like fraternities and sororities that might be off campus as far as reporters go?
So it always depends on our on the policy itself. So we always go back to the policies and procedures. And so it's hard to give like a definitive answer to that question. And this is going to be like a lawyerly answer, but it always depends on the facts. And so it depends on like what's going on, what's been reported, does it fall under policy 6.4? So we always look to whether we have jurisdiction and the other factors in our procedures. So there are times when we can, you know, can and would take action, and then there are times that we may not, but it's always going to depend on the facts of the particular incident.
Anyone else have, go ahead, Danielle.
So I'm curious, as somebody that kind of mingles, or not mingles, but just where I am in campus, I'm surrounded by students and you overhear things. And I'm not someone who is a reporter, but curious, when you overhear things, if you report them, can anything be done? If you say, hey, I overheard this happening, these are the details I have, or do you need someone cooperating and more information to actually proceed?
So I think that is always worth, like, if it's something that is, you know, that in your mind you think, oh, maybe I should tell somebody about this, I would say just reach out to our office. You don't need to necessarily even share like the identities of the individuals who are involved. We can just talk it through from like a consultation perspective. There are sometimes things that can be done, even if we don't have a cooperating party, things like training. I mean, is it, you know, a particular group of students? Like, you know, I don't know, is it like a particular athletics team that you're hearing from, or is it a particular student group? And maybe we could do some type of outreach or training. I think it's always worth reporting. The other thing is, or even just consulting, you never know whether we've received other reports on a matter. So let's say you overhear individuals talking about like someone that's a problem, like someone that's bothering them. Like, we may have received reports last semester or last year about that. And so getting another report is always helpful for us. So I would encourage reaching out. And you can just, we have an online reporting form that I included, I believe in the deck, but you can just call or just email and like, we'll have a, you know, quick meeting with you and talk it through. Happy to do that always.
Yep.
Apologies, I just had to mute myself really quick because I sneezed. Do we have any other questions or comments for Katie? Yes, Yvonne.
Yes, thank you so much, Katie, for the information. Towards the end, you shared, I think, two or three different slides with a lot of contact information for various resources. Other than in the slides, is that available somewhere to like be posted or readily accessible?
Yeah, so it's on our website. It's on the Cornell Office of Civil Rights website. And I can, after I'm done presenting, I'll find that information and I can put it in the chat. If you want to add it to the meeting minutes, I can do that if that works.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions or comments for Katie?
Thanks, Wendy. Appreciate that.
Yeah, not a problem. I used to work in the Office of the Assemblies, Katie, so I'm used to like typing things really quick in our chat, and I beat Eric to it. Sorry about that, Eric. Anyone else? If not, thank you again for coming, Katie. I will see you actually when you come and present at the University Assembly meeting as well. So. Appreciate all of the information and the details and all of the work that you and your team do. Much appreciated.
So much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thanks again. All right, to our next item on business of the day. So President Kolikoff and Provost Bala have been visiting all of the colleges and I believe administrative units and providing information, kind of like a town hall and an update based on the financial austerity email that was sent out in mid-June. So I would kind of like to open up a little space for us to talk. Thoughts, comments, feedback. Again, please remember that this meeting is recorded and there may be press in attendance. So if it's something that we should take into executive session, I'm welcome to that suggestion as well, but just kind of wanted to get a temp check on everyone. And if there's anything, again, we can't really address stuff, but if someone has, you know, any feedback or comments that we may be able to bring back to our liaison to senior leadership, which is Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer, Christine Lovely, I would be happy to jot down any feedback, or people can email me or the executive committee as well, and we can try and get that ball rolling. But anyone, feel free, raise your hand. I'll recognize you. Yes, Danielle.
The only thing I'm hearing is that there was a lot of discrepancy between what was said at the different colleges. So I feel like different people got different messages.
Right. And actually, I had heard that as well. And I think, again, this is just my assumption, and I could be very wrong, because things are changing at such a rapid pace that while they may have presented information at, say, the College of Engineering on a Tuesday, the way things are changing pretty much on like a daily basis, what they present to, say, the vet school on a Friday may be different than what they presented 3 days ago. So that, again, like I said, that's my understanding of it. I don't think, though, that the core message varied for colleges. Again, I wasn't in attendance at all the college town halls or anything. So, Marcy.
Yeah, basically just echoing what you said, I've heard from other people at different colleges as well that the message seemed a little more, I guess the word is dire. My feeling anyway, in our veterinary college message just last week, and it was their last college they mentioned, that things had changed when they started, and the provost even said that when they started the all the talks, with all of the different things that have come through in this administration, things have changed. And while yes, they are looking to streamline and consolidate, they don't know what that looks like, and are looking, based on the email that we just got as well, they're looking for our feedback and the community's feedback on ways to help, to help bring things together. They also mentioned they were looking at, streamlining, just basically looking for feedback on streamlining as well. So yeah, it was interesting, but not as doom and gloom as I had thought it was going to be. At least that was my perspective.
Right.
I'd love to hear others.
Well, and also just to clarify what Marcy was saying, the email that she's referring to, and again, I am very hopeful that all of you received it. It was an email that was sent Monday afternoon at approximately 3:02 p.m. from the provost, and the subject line is gathering ideas to improve operations. Again, she did mention that there was thoughtful questions and ideas shared, and there is a Qualtrics form, and it's just to submit ideas, feedback for streamlining functions and improving existing processes, practices, and tools. You can either use the Qualtrics form or email streamlining@cornell.edu. It does state that submissions to the form are anonymous, but you may choose to be contacted about your idea or invited to a related working group. So I would encourage everyone, if you have the time, to please think about these things. Think about what you can do to provide this, because they're giving us this opportunity to do this, not just us, but everybody. I would really encourage people to look at the form, provide your feedback, provide your ideas, thoughts, and all that sort of thing. So as Danielle just mentioned in chat, she's already submitted four. I have a feeling, I haven't had an opportunity to look at it yet, but I have a feeling there's going to be maybe one or two or 10 coming from me as well. So, yes, Marcy.
Sorry, I'm losing my signal here as well, so that's why I'm turning off my video. But one thing that she did mention was streamlining purchasing for graduate supplies, which I thought was a great idea. I know they do, just at the Beck College, we have a materials warehouse where everyone purchases all of their products from one area, which I don't know how that would work across campus for research purposes, because there's just so many research offices throughout the university. But I thought that was a great idea. Maybe that's something that'll help save some money. And they were looking at long-term savings, not just short-term, like what happened in 2008. There was a big push to decrease. They're looking for long-term sustainable solutions, not just cutting. And yeah, basically that's it. I'll stop.
Right. Thanks, Marcy. Danielle?
Just piggybacking, we are rarely given the opportunity to share input on things that greatly affect us. The work that we actually do is frequently decided by people in positions well out of the range of doing those things. So please do look at that survey. Please do give it serious consideration and recommend what is not working, what changes have been made that aren't working, what changes should be made. Just again, rare opportunity. I don't know how much weight it's actually going to carry, but please take the time to look at it.
Yes, I agree with that 1,000%. Thank you, Danielle. Anyone else have any, again, comments or thoughts or feedback on this? And, you know, as we said, things are changing. There are things that are going on, you know, in the federal government that are up in the air, information. So there may be times that our senior leadership they don't have the answers. So I would ask that we do extend a little bit of patience and grace to them, as, you know, if they don't have the answers, they really can't provide us with any details or answers as well. So, you know, our federal government just shut down at midnight, and that was still even kind of up in the air as of yesterday. So again, just with the changing landscape and as things evolve, again, just be weird, you know, conscious of that as well. If we don't have anything else related to this, I'm gonna keep us moving right along. So last meeting we talked about the occasional commuter parking. Yvonne, do you want to take this up, or do you want me to talk about it? Because your audio is a little wonky.
Yeah, I can share. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah, so one of the things that we learned from an employee in Geneva is that the occasional commuter parking is not working for anyone who's outside of Ithaca. We do plan to reach out to Parking and Transportation Services to learn a little bit more about this approach, right? Because even though we understand that me being here in the Ithaca campus, working here, and at the same time, we do have other campuses, right? And sometimes the work does bring those individuals to here, the Ithaca campus, that may require some type of parking. So we're gonna follow up to understand that a little bit more. And also, part of the question is, how the parking locations were selected, just kind of knowing the impact that those parking areas are already seeing. So for example, B-Lot being one of the designated areas, but B-Lot already receives a lot of stress, or as you said, demand for parking. Hoy Garage, same thing. There's a lot of demand for that parking area, and then to make it a part of the occasional commuter parking situation adds on to that stress. In addition to people being waitlisted for those areas. So again, we're trying to understand how this is being managed and what is the implementation looking like, and for us to be able to provide that feedback that other individuals who are employees of Cornell, just at different campuses, are being impacted by this as well. And if there are any potential solutions that we could come up with specifically about that.
Great. Thanks, Yvonne. Appreciate that. The reason we had this on Business of the Day is we just wanted to give you all an update that, yes, we've heard the concerns and that we're a follow-up with transportation. So Next item on our agenda is committee reports. So again, back to Yvonne for our executive committee.
Sorry, I'm having a little bit of a cough. Yes, so we had our conversations. One of the things that we are hoping to do is engage all of you a little bit more as active participants of the employee assembly, meaning we are seeking agenda items for every meeting that we're having, right? So I'm going to do my best to be sending a reminder to you all. And in addition, just knowing that we're going to be consistently collecting agenda items in one specific spreadsheet. So feel free to bookmark that spreadsheet once you have the link. And anytime you have any agenda items, please feel free to put them up there. It does not necessarily mean that it's going to make it to the agenda. Rather, it gives the executive committee an opportunity to connect about it, to talk about it, figure out what is the best approach to that particular topic. And if it does happen to be the time to bring it to the general employee assembly meeting, then we can do that as well. We did have our first meeting with our liaison, Christine Lovely. We talked a little bit about staff morale, things that we can be doing to improve just the impact that the federal government and also that the budgetary constraints are having on us as individuals and staff members. And yeah, I don't know, did I miss anything, Wendy?
No, I think you're set. Yes, Carl.
I think Carl.
Yeah, so I was wondering if you had a chance to talk as an executive committee about the priority survey. And I think that is something that is able to help you facilitate what we should be focusing on, not only from employees themselves, but also give us an idea about what areas we may not be hitting and see the blind spots that we may not have. So just throwing that out there again.
No, thank you for that. Yes, we did have the opportunity to connect with Christine Lovey as well about this. It sounds like as of right now, HR is not necessarily planning to send out a survey to the entire staff community here. So we are having that conversation about what would that look like for us to implement something. And yeah, we'll bring more information to you all. And we'll be having a lot of work on our plates with that survey. More coming soon.
Great. Thank you for that. We're going to move to Victoria for Communications, Outreach, and Recognition Committee.
Hi, guys. I'm also having some issues with my work hour for staff, and it's going to be on October 17th at 10
a.m. Victoria, I apologize for interrupting, but you're cutting in and out. You may want to turn your video off. That might help.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, thought I'd give it a chance. I do have an appointment to get my Ethernet fixed, so hopefully that will be fixed today. But I was saying the first coffee hour, October 17th, 10 a.m., you guys are going to get some more information on that soon. The EA voice should also be sent out pretty soon, and I'm hoping to have it done by next Monday. Since it's gotten pushed, there will be another section on the George Peter Award, and we'll have some more information on nominations for that. And I'll be working with Rose to get the formatting organized and getting everything kind of situated with it. Our next meeting for the committee is on Friday, October 10th of next week, and we'll be preparing for that coffee event. And yeah.
Great. Thanks, Victoria. I appreciate it. The coffee event also, I don't know if you mentioned it, it might have been something that cut out, but it will be actually held here at the vet school, and it'll be in the Hagen room. I know it's not like a outward facing room, so if you have any questions, you need to find it, or if you would like to direct your constituents here, feel free. I'm going to volunteer myself, Yvonne, and Marcy, all as vet school staff that work here. Reach out to one of us if you need me, if you'd like to come to that. Okay, we're going to go over to Deb with the Employee Education and Development Committee.
Hi, everyone. So happy to share. We do have a meeting scheduled for our committee for our first meeting of the year, Thursday the 9th at 12. So if I miss anybody that didn't get a calendar invite, letting you know now, you can just message me and I can make sure to get you that calendar invite if you didn't receive it. And just quickly, we'll talk about our goals and how we can be helpful to our constituents this coming year. And I guess just leave a question for everyone to think about as how do we rise to the occasion when so many are worried about being laid off? What is the educational component that we could encourage, I guess is the word I want to use. So that's just something to put out there for our committee members to think about when they come to the meeting next week. It's just something I thought of overnight as we keep getting developments about what's going on at the university. That's all I have. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Deb. Appreciate it. We're going to go over to Marcy with the Employee Welfare Committee.
Okay. I'm sitting in an office on campus and I'm still getting internet issues. So if I cut out, I'm sorry, I will cut off, turn off my video. So we're having our first meeting today, this afternoon. We're going to discuss our meeting frequency, discuss what we've passed, this committee has passed, handled. I wasn't part of this committee before, so, but I know parking was a huge part of it. We do invite people from parking and transportation to our meetings. I don't know if they'll be able to make it. They were invited. We'll discuss, there are some other things we were going to discuss, like the financial austerity challenges and any personnel challenges that we may have. We'll be meeting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Marcy. Appreciate it. To our Benefits and Policy Committee and Ellie, who is chairing this committee now.
Hello, we have our first meeting scheduled. It's next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. So if anybody is interested in joining, just let me know and I'll add you in. We also have a new Teams room. What do they call them? So if you are on Teams, you can look for that. It should be under the Employee Assembly section. If you don't see it, reach out and I will send you an invite. That's it for us right now.
Great. Thanks, Ellie. Appreciate it. And last but not least, Stephanie with our Elections Committee.
Yes, thank you. I realize I've fallen a little bit behind, but I'm working really hard to set up our initial meeting for all the committee members. And we'll very quick meeting. We'll chat about the rules and the process and what's going to happen throughout this semester and next. So I am going to get that on everyone's calendar. Well, everyone that's eligible to be on the committee, everyone's calendar, very, very soon.
Great. Thanks, Stephanie. Also, just as a reminder to our EA members, the Elections Committee, you are on it by default if your seat is not up for election in spring of 2026. So that's approximately 2/3 of our representatives. The other third, you can either rerun for your seat or not. All right, we're going to move to liaison reports. UA Campus Codes Committee. And I need to look to see who that person is. I'm not sure off the top of my head. Ricky Boche, anything.
Oh, is that me? Sorry, I wasn't sure.
That is you, yes.
My bad. Yes, we are in the process of finding a time to meet. We've been having conversations as of yesterday, and so hopefully more to come, but we are looking to get that meeting going and started. But that's really it.
Great, thank you. The UA Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and then the Environment. That would be Ellie.
I haven't heard anything from them about this committee or when any meetings have been set up yet.
Okay. I will follow up or see what's going on. We just had a UA meeting actually last night, and so I should have paid attention. I was paying attention. There was a lot going on. to see when the meetings were. So next is the UA Campus Welfare Committee. That is Gladys and Danielle Hill.
Hi, sorry, my video is not on, but I don't have a particularly stable internet connection at the moment. And the UA Campus Welfare, we've just done a couple orientation meetings and we haven't really gotten to any real topics yet. I should have something more to report on in the future. And I don't think Gladys is on, so. Oh, there she is. Hi, Gladys.
Hello, I haven't received anything regarding any meetings, but that could be because I'm retired. So let me check my Cornell email address and I'd love to connect with you.
Okay. And also for those standing committees, I'll follow up with the chairs of all of those standing committees that are in the UA. And yeah, so Marcy actually just said in chat, she is on that committee as well as a UA rep. I don't believe they've met yet either. So again, I'll follow up and just make sure that everyone is included in the appropriate spots. Okay, so University Assembly Associated Committees. So our Campus Planning Committee, that is Mel Bonta and Kate Supron. I'm actually also on that committee as the University Assembly liaison, and it's my understanding, yeah, there's not been a meeting yet for that.
I've made that number up.
Once we have any updates, I'll look to either Mel or Kate first to provide an update as our EA reps. And if they're unavailable, then I can do that. Transportation Hearing Appeals Board, Yvonne, anything?
No, there has not been any communication yet.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for letting us know. Committee for Campus Constituency Elected Trustees, Jeremy. Is there anything going on with that?
Hopefully not. That would mean that we had an interim loss of a representative and that we would have to be filling it. I'm in the position in that just in case scenario because I could spin up quickly for that position.
Right. Thank you very much. And lastly, Faculty Senate, Danielle.
We haven't had a meeting since our last meeting. Their next meeting is Wednesday.
Great, thank you. Okay, that wraps up our liaison reports. Now I'm going to open the floor up to open discussion. If you have anything, yes, please raise your hand. Carl.
Hello. So I wanted to talk today about the Committee of Future of the American at University and maybe more in general about committees that are being created by the university. I'm finding it more and more disheartening that committees are being created without members of the staff or student representation, especially when they directly affect, for instance, this is regarding how students are integrating and dealing with and viewing Cornell as a university and academic universities as a whole. Additionally, like our staff members are PhD or degree holding people who are oftentimes direct connections to the avenues of where information is coming from and where information is going. So for us to be discluded is amazingly disheartening, and it just feels very targeted, especially in a time where we are feeling like we have less say about our own autonomy right now, where we're held to unknowns from the university. Also being discluded just adds another reason for us to feel the need to seek out more trust with the administration. I also think it's a big disservice not to have at least some student representations on this committee to get maybe current views of what Cornell is and where Cornell is headed. I don't know if I know that others have maybe vocalized this, but I just want it to be like officially recorded that I'm just not very enthused about it. Like, I get it. We have faculty members. They're great and wonderful, but we also have other resources that would be catalysts for new ideas. And I really want to explore or hope that the university would explore those catalysts.
So thank you for bringing that up, Carl. I think you may have read the minds of quite a few people that are on this call with that concern of some more representation on these committees that do address issues on campus or what's going on campus as a whole, not just a particular constituent group. I'm going to speak on behalf of the executive committee. We are going to be discussing this at our next executive committee and potentially bringing something to all of you to discuss and review and vote on. I fully understand. I'm not sure what the process is with any of these campus committees that they put together for selection or how they determine who's going to be representative, those sort of things. So thank you again for voicing that and bringing it to our attention. Marcy.
I'm just wondering, just because the faculty senate had has a date, the UA doesn't have a date. I was wondering if the EA has a date for when the president will be coming to visit the employee assembly. I know we have our address to the staff in January, but do we have a date from the president's office yet?
Thanks for bringing that up, Marcy. And no, we do not. We are still, again, we can't go to the president and say, come on this date. It's kind of a waiting game. We have to wait to hear from them as to when he'll be visiting us. We do have a pretty packed presenter list between now and our last meeting in December. As I've been inviting speakers and presenters to come to our meetings, I've also been giving them the caveat of, and you may get bumped by President Kolakoff when he comes to visit with us. So that's where we are. It's great that he's coming to the Faculty Senate meeting. It would be wonderful to know when he's planning on coming to either our meeting or other assembly meetings. But yeah, no, we don't have the information. As soon as we have that, we will be sure to notify everyone.
I believe last year he was only able to come to the spring meeting. We only came to one meeting. Traditionally, it's been two, fall and spring. But yeah, that's unfortunate. But I understand his schedule is challenging.
Yeah, no, and I completely hear what you're saying about traditional. But again, we are not traditional. I don't want to overuse the word, but again, unprecedented times, challenging times. Sorry, Rose, your face. Anyway, it's a little, we have to, again, be flexible, be patient, be as accommodating as we can. So, like I said, once we hear when he'll be joining us, it will definitely be shared with everyone. Also, again, we have the date for the president's address to staff. It is January 8th. We don't have a location, but also that may switch as well. We don't know, if something comes up and he's unable to present at that date, again, we just need to be able to shift gears and do whatever we need to do with that. Yvonne.
Yes, kind of staying on that same topic with, the staff members not being included in this yet another committee. I do want to be fully transparent with everyone here and share that we have had provided this feedback before to our liaison, Christine Lovely, who has passed it on to the president. And we have passed this feedback directly to the president as well. So please know that we are advocating for all of us here and the rest of our staff members across Cornell. And it just seems like we need to do something different to be heard, to be part of these discussions.
Great, thanks, Yvonne. I see that we are losing people. That's totally understandable if you have something somewhere else to go. We are in the open discussion, so there's not any voting or anything going on. But we'll keep the meeting going until our scheduled time as needed. So, Carl.
I think that's the importance of why I'm bringing it up is because I was in those meetings and there was some acknowledgement that that needed to happen and there is still not happening. So that was the importance of why I brought it up. And I'm hoping we'll push forward with it in some way or another. So thank you for being on our team and trying to help us get the word to them, but it does seem like there is a little bit that they're having a hard time reasoning us being part of these committees.
I will mention one other thing. For open discussion, it was to be in the EA Voice, but since it's coming out a little bit later, the Cornell Child Care Grant, if you are interested in applying, actually the deadline is today. I believe it came out in the faculty staff news earlier that the deadline, it's like 4:30 this afternoon. I know that's time, kind of a time crunch, but just bringing that to everyone's mind if they're interested. Yvonne.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, this is a little bit unrelated to the current topic, but I wanted to share with everyone. I don't know if everyone got this email from HR about minor change that happened within Workday. There was an update, a forced update through Workday, from my understanding, that changed the language of employees being able to take time off from time off and leaves to absence or manage absence. From our understanding, so we did have a conversation with Christine about this, and from our understanding, it did not change anything about our benefits. It's just a language change. So if you're looking into your workday and trying to figure out how do I take my sick pay, how do I submit my vacation, it's going to be under either absence or manage absence or absences. Thank you.
I believe Rose and then Carl.
Yeah, and just to add to that, that wasn't a Cornell change. It was a Workday change, is what we were told. So it was the software itself, not a choice that our university made individually.
Yeah, and just to echo that really quick, yes, it was a Workday update, and it's my understanding that it wasn't received that well by our IT folks or some individuals here that deal with Workday on a regular basis. So Carl, yes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask because time off seems so like it's like neutral, where absence seems very negative connotation. So I was just like, oh, this has changed. This is awkward.
Right. Yeah, it threw us off a little bit as well. We had our conversation within the exec committee, and we're like, oh, okay, that's a little bit different. Anyway. Anything else for open discussion? Yes, Yvonne.
Sorry, I'm talkative today. I wanted to ask everyone, I don't know if everyone has had the or reached the Cornell Daily Sun or has had the opportunity to read the AAUP letter to President Kotlikoff about fighting anti-Semitism. If you haven't had the opportunity, with us being here on this campus, strongly recommend that you, or suggest, I guess, that you read it, more specifically because there was a response from President Kotlikoff. I don't know if Provost Wallo was included in there, in that response, I forget. Nope, yep. Response from both of them about, I guess, what we're doing at Cornell to fight anti-Semitism. And to be completely honest, from my perspective, based on those two articles, there's no distinguished definition of anti-Semitism, and unfortunately, that is impacting the rest of free speech that we have on, or are we supposed to have on campus? So that's just my take on it. I don't know if anyone else has any thoughts on that, or if you have had the opportunity to read those articles.
Thanks for that, Yvonne. Does anyone have anything else they would like to add to open discussion? If not, oh, Rose.
Just very briefly, take care of yourselves and each other. I care about all of you, and it's rough right now, right? Like, we keep mentioning sort of skirting maybe a little, like all these things are changing all the time. And like, I'm just noticing that like the more we can just check on each other, check in with each other, I think it's really valuable. So I just wanted to put that out there that I care about y'all.
Great. Thanks, Rose. And yeah, I will definitely echo that. Actually, when the EA voice comes out and the welcome from the chair, I also reiterate that as well in my welcome to everyone. Yes, Danielle.
Just hopping on that, when we had our meeting that didn't go quite as planned, the breakfast with the new VP who got sick. But anyway, when we had the trustee there, we spoke with, was it David Lee? And kind of about the state of campus. And since we have a bigger audience and since we might have other people listening, that the state of staff is that we are being asked to do more with less. Additionally, we are in a state of perpetual existential dread as to the state of our employment. So yeah, reach out when you need us. We are all in the same boat. Have as much grace for your coworkers as possible right now, because we're all going through it.
Thanks, Danielle. Anything else? If not, I would be more than happy to give you all 7 minutes of your day back, and I would welcome a motion to adjourn with unanimous consent.
A motion to adjourn by unanimous consent.
Seconded.
Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, our meeting is adjourned. Bye, everyone. Enjoy your afternoon. Happy October.